Hey, this is Scott Prioli from DVC-Rental.com. What we do is help Disney Vacation Club members rent out their points when they can't use them. This helps your family save around 40 or 50% off the prices of Disney's deluxe resorts. As you're staying on Disney property, you still get Magic Bands, Fast Passes, tickets, and dining plans. Again, you can find us at www.DVC-Rental.com or on Facebook if you search for DVC-Rental webpage.
Hello, welcome to the DubDub Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm flying solo today. Well, solo of sorts. I brought along a friend, because today's going to be an interesting show. Today's show is not a typical dub show where we have a crazy topic and we explore about it. We actually are going to explore some real meat and potatoes today. And before we get into the actual content, let me introduce again to you a returning guest and a really good friend, Scott Farioli. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing really good today. It's a morning. It's a rare morning recording. I got my coffee here. Are you drinking anything right now, Scott?
I have ice water.
Oh, man. See, you topped me. I got the coffee to stay awake. You got the ice water to keep yourself hydrated, right?
Yep. Not a coffee person.
Okay. Well, there's the first thing you didn't know about Scott Farioli, right?
Not a coffee person, yep.
Have you ever been a coffee person?
Nope.
How about Shannon?
Shannon's a coffee person. I prefer tea, but truthfully, I drink tea probably once every 2 or 3 months, so I'm not even a real tea person either.
Okay.
90% of the time, I drink ice water.
Okay, so hang on. Let me just scratch off the list. Scott Farioli, Christmas, coffee, very good. Not going to do that. Shannon is a coffee girl, though?
Yes, she is.
Every morning, every day, or is it a casual thing?
It's every day now. It didn't used to be. But I think just within the last several months, it's been every day.
See, that's how it starts. You start with a cup of coffee, and then all of a sudden it's 2 cups of coffee, and then it's 3 cups of coffee, and now your hand starts shaking, and then you realize you're up to like 6 cups of coffee a day, and you're like, this is way too much. I'm not at that level, but I'm at like the 3 cup of coffee level D.
Yeah, she's typically at one, but it's an iced coffee that she makes, and then, you know, she puts in the creamer in it, so it's some sort of, you know, caramel cream iced whatever.
Yeah. I got you. Well, here's what I wanted to do today. You know, you and I are similar in many ways, outside of being extremely handsome. We are similar in other ways, too. That's crickets right there, right? Like, everyone that's listening is like, oh, gosh. We both have jobs that, on the surface level, are like the envy of everybody. But there's a little bit more about our job that people just don't understand. But really, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to learn more about you because you are the owner of DVC-Rental and Buy and Sell DVC.com, and you have a resale business and a rental business connected to Disney Vacation Club, correct?
That is correct.
Well, you know what? I think you and I are similar in many ways, again, where our pictures are on Facebook and we post things about the show or about our business, but actually the information behind us really isn't too widely known, so I guess my goal today with the show is to learn more about you. So start us off. Where'd you actually grow up, Scott?
I grew up in West Islip. It's on Long Island in New York. I lived there till I was 18 and went off to college. I went to school at Rutgers University in New Jersey. And after I graduated from Rutgers, I ended up staying in New Jersey for a little over 10 years before moving down to Florida 2.5 years ago.
Okay, so you were there till you were roughly 29 or 30 years old, correct?
Correct.
And you were married at the time you were living in up
north?
Wait
a minute. I was in New Jersey much longer than that. What am I saying?
Okay.
Gosh, it's been so long. I'm going, 30 years. I'm like, wait, it was only 2 years ago. So
I was going to say, it puts you at 32, but okay, I was going to come back to that.
How old am I now? Wait a minute. Oh, man, I was in New Jersey for much longer. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me when you were in New Jersey.
It's been longer, Chris. It's been longer than 10 years.
See, when you're in New Jersey, see how time just warps by you. You had to get out of there. But
apparently.
So what did you do for a living when you were up there?
I worked in quality assurance. I did computer software testing for banks. So a lot of times they would make changes to their software, like with trading platforms, or I worked on a swaps product, and it's just whenever they were making changes, I would test the changes for them, and then I would push the code out to production to the clients.
Okay, so this sounds really complicated. Is this an at-home type job, or is this a I got to go to work and I got to go to an office every day type job?
I worked in Princeton, and then I worked in Manhattan, and then in Jersey City, which is right outside of Manhattan. So it was commuting. The one to Princeton was about 25-minute drive, mm-hmm. and the commute to Manhattan and Jersey City was an hour and a half train ride, or sometimes, as in Jersey City, it was a three trains to get to work, three trains to get home, hour and a half each way.
Okay. When did you leave the house? When did you come back in?
I typically left the house at about 6:45 in the morning, and I'd get home a little bit after 6:30 at night.
Okay, so you're looking at like a 12-hour day then, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So I know that we have listeners all across the world, and I got them in 50 foreign countries in every state, and some people commute 3 minutes to work, some people work from home. And I don't know if they fully understand, like I live in Chicago, and what commute times can really be. Your hour and a half, some people may scoff at that and say that's impossible. That really isn't that unreasonable when you live in a city like New York or Los Angeles or Chicago. I know commute times on our expressways can vary from 25 minutes one day to an hour and 25 minutes the very next day based on gapers, delays, and accidents and whatnot. So, but hearing that, I got to tell you, as your friend, that's brutal. That's terrible.
Realize the hour and a half, it's not like, you know, that, you know, it varies 25 minutes to an hour and a half. Hour and a half was, you know, if everything connected perfectly.
Oh,
that was
gosh.
The normal day. There were other days it took 3 hours to get home if there were delays or problems. But most of the time, you're looking about an hour and a half. They did a pretty good job of, you know, keeping everything on schedule. So it was not terrible with delays or anything. But hour and a half was, you know, the good normal days. Well, that wasn't, you know, the bad days.
Well, like the next questions are going to be like, oh, how'd you get into Disney? How'd you get into DVC? I don't even need to ask that question other than hearing that's what like your commute was. Like you had to do something differently. So like, let's go with it. Like how did you get actually from that life? How did you manage to like start up or how did you start up like a DVC company?
Well, I've been thinking about possibly doing something for a while. I wasn't sure, but it all happened. I know exactly what happened. It was on one specific day. I was commuting home. Wasn't a bad day or anything, but I was just listening to a Disney podcast because I'd gotten into Disney over the years. I'd been a DVC member for several years already.
Okay.
And I was listening to a Disney podcast, and the guy who runs the podcast had left his regular job and moved down to Florida to, you know, fulfill his Disney life. You know, he's creating company down here and doing work down here.
What show is that? What show is that, Scott?
It's Lou's show.
Lou! Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I wasn't sure if I should mention
Heck
him.
Heck yeah! Lou's the man. We met Lou at the Indie Disney meet. Yes. He couldn't have been kinder. He was like I think I even gave him a shot about being Italian down there. So yeah, he's the man. No problem.
Yeah, Lou's a really great guy. He's always been very nice when I've met him. But yeah, I was listening to Lou's show, and I said, you know what? He was a lawyer in New Jersey. I met him when he was moving down to Florida. He had a meet at the Menlo Park Mall, and I actually went up to it and spoke to him for a little bit. But I said, you know, if Lou's able to do it, and Lou's able to leave his job as a lawyer in New Jersey and move down to Florida to fulfill his dream, there's got to be something I can do. Not even really to move to Florida. Moving to Florida was a thought in the back of my mind, but it was I'd love to do something with Disney where I'm not doing 3 hours of commuting every single day.
Yeah.
And it spawned from there. I said, you know, what can I do? And I said, you know what? I thought about renting DVC points for a while as I'd been a member, and I had rented out points to my coworkers in the past. You know, they had sat there and I had extra points, and you know, a couple of my coworkers I sent on vacation, and I was like, you know what? I could do this. There's one other company that does this right now. You know, I'm pretty familiar with DVC as it is. I've read a lot of stuff online. I've been an owner for a while. I've rented out my points to my friends and coworkers. You know, maybe I can make a business out of this, and it spawned from there.
Okay, and so how did you? I guess the question that whenever you look at like in my fun part of my life, my podcast life. You know, people sometimes look at it and say, how do you start that podcast? How do you get something on the air? How do you record? How do you edit? How do you do that? And you really kind of just figure it out as you're going along. But I look at you and say, how did you figure out that infrastructure? How did you figure out the website and how to do that? Well, what was that? I guess technically your job kind of got you prepared for that, being that you were a tester for all these programs.
Well, that's the thing. I was doing a tester, but I have a background in economics. I'm not a, you know, I wasn't a programmer, developer or anything. But because I was a tester, it was literally me doing the testing, and I was working with 15, 20 developers. So I was friends with all of them. So I just asked a buddy of mine who was a developer and said, hey, listen, I'm thinking of creating this website. You know, can you help me out with it? And a couple months later, the website went live. And the timing was great because I was actually having my second son at the time, mm-hmm. and I was going on paternity leave. And we actually rolled out the website when I went on paternity leave. So I had some extra time, you know, for a couple of weeks right in the beginning to immediately put extra work into it and to, you know, to be hustling a little more and on some websites, promoting the business and trying to get our name out there. So being on paternity leave definitely helped out, and the timing was great.
I'm sure Shannon loved that. Yeah. No, let's not help Shannon. Let's focus on our new website.
Yes, don't ask the wonderful wife about that, because, you know, thank goodness everything worked out really well.
Yeah.
Because if the business had flopped and I had spent weeks working on the business instead of helping out with the second child, I might be single at the moment.
I do. I see that as a terrible scenario. I see. Good.
None of this gets mentioned to Shannon.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, hopefully she won't listen. Up. Okay.
She stepped up and she ran everything, you know, not just the developer. If she wasn't around, you know, busting her butt and carrying the weight of the second child, the, you know, business wouldn't have taken off either. So just a lot of things had to fall into place for it to work out the way it did.
All right. So you got this website, but you're still in New Jersey and you're commuting. Yes. So you're working like between like 10 and 12 hour days. How are you doing this website? Are you spending more time on your secondary job than your? How are you doing this?
Well, I still have some friends I speak to who I worked with, but you know they all knew about the business anyway, to be honest. But there's a large portion of my day at work where I was spent working on the DVC business instead of doing the other business. I had a very nice job. I love my job, and there was some downtime. So on an average day, honestly, the majority of my time was spent on my DVC business.
Okay.
And I kept that job for, I think, around 5 years or so, somewhere between 4 or 5 years after I created the business. I kept working at my regular job and just kept doing both. I do the regular job, you know, I do the DVC business during regular business hours, you know, while I was at my regular job. Commute home, we'd sit there, we'd have family dinner, put the kids to bed, and then literally pick up the laptop again and just keep working until it was time to go to bed and wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to start it all over again the next day.
Okay, so there's good and bad here. So without disclosing anything, you're probably killing it financially, but you're also probably getting killed, like, physically at this point. I mean, is that an accurate assessment? With you doing two jobs, but, like, literally from the moment you go to wake up to the moment you go to bed, you're essentially working for somebody minus a little bit of family time in there. If it's for yourself or for a company, you're working for the majority of the day. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, when we started the company, we started out rolling pretty well. I mean, obviously we weren't killing it right away. Mm-hmm. But since the beginning, I was always surprised at how quickly and how well we were doing. So, I mean, It started doing pretty well right away, but it was, again, it takes a lot out on you because literally on the train, I'm also doing stuff. So
yeah,
I'm going 6 o'clock in the morning up until 10 o'clock at night working, then go to bed and start over and do it again. And that's how it ended up eventually where I left the job, is that every day would be that same exact thing. We'd get home, eat our dinner, play with the kids a little bit, and then literally the wife and I both picking up our laptops at that time, mm-hmm. and doing work on the DVC site because I needed help because it was growing. And
it's growing.
You know, it was both of us literally doing nonstop emails from, you know, 7 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night. I mean, almost every night what would happen is we'd finish at almost exactly 10 o'clock. We were like, you know, enter, you know, okay, last email's been sent. It's 10 o'clock. Okay, we're going right to bed because we've got to wake up early in the morning. So, I mean, there was no down extra time, no watching TV, no watching movies. It was literally pick up the laptop, work all the way up until you're exhausted and you're ready for bed because you've got to wake up early in the morning to start over and take the trains again. So at that, you know, after doing that for a while, and, you know, as it kept getting bigger, you know, we kept waiting to see, is it sustainable enough that I can leave my job? Because truthfully, it was a very good job and it paid well. I had a lot of vacation, 401k. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually had a pension plan. So it was a very good job, and I didn't really want to give it up. I mean, I love the people I worked with. Just the commute was really, really rough.
Yeah.
And when you were doing the second job, it just got to the point where I was like, you know what? It's too much now. It's a good thing. You know, it stinks to give up a nice job, and you're like, I can't believe I'm giving this up. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to this who would have been very happy with this job. And it was a great job, but it was just eventually too much. Where I said, and it killed me for a while. I'm like, am I being stupid giving up this job? I mean, I worked hard to get here. You know, is it stupid for me to give this up? But the DVC stuff just kept getting bigger and bigger and doing more, and it was requiring more time. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I can give up the job. It's going to stink to lose that salary, but, you know, it's going to be so much easier on us, and our lives are going to get so much better with not having to do all of this at once.
Yeah. So you essentially did what a lot of people that are listening, and frankly, me and my wife, you know, we dream of doing someday, because it's like we're too secure in the jobs that we have, and we like the jobs we have.
Yeah.
But you need like this one leap of faith to say, okay, we can leave that, we can leave the security, we can leave this, we can leave the retirement plans, and we're going to grab onto this with like no guarantees. You are now your own boss. So you did what a lot of people aren't able to do, which is the courage to do that is awesome. I mean, we have friends that do that, Michael Black and Christina and heck, Pete down in Florida right now. Did that. B. Thaxton, you know, did that. She ended up in Florida for a similar thing. But so tell me this then. One question I want to drop back. What was your feeling when the first person, the first public person that like you didn't know decided to rent with you? I mean, was that like a surreal, like, I can't believe it? Or what was that like?
That it really was. And my wife still talks about this. It's, you know, obviously with our business, it's, and this is all the rental side. This is way before we opened the resale business. So this is all rentals. And the thing is, it's with us, as you know, it's two ways. You know, we have to get the DVC member in who has points, who agrees to, you know, rent their points out through us. And then we've got to find the family to, you know, book the trip for. So it was just, I'd say once we opened the business, within a week, we probably had our first full transaction where somebody had came in and we were able to book a room for somebody. And my wife was sitting there going, you know, you're brand new, you know, your name's not really out there yet. And yet there's these people who are willing to trust you with their Disney vacations. You know, they're paying you thousands of dollars for this Disney vacation, and you've been doing this a week. But that, you know, the internet's great. I mean, there's a lot of people you have to be careful about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody has to start at some point. And it was just amazing to sit there and go, wow, there's people here who are trusting me already. You know, what's awesome is that one of the first, I think, two or three DVC members who we rented out her points, I mean, she still comes back to us every single year. You know, I've become friends with her on Facebook. We chat periodically. But again, she's back every year. And I told her, I was like, I don't know if you know this. You know, the first time you rented with me, like, I had been around for like a week. Mm-hmm. You know, you were one of the first people ever to come in with us. And, you know, she helped, you know, start the business. She jump started it right away, you know. So it's really cool to go back and look at some of the stuff, to sit there and go, wow, these people trusted me, you know, so early on. And it's, you know, I'm very, very thankful that, you know, it's happened this way. You know, I don't want to say we've gotten lucky, because we've worked really, really hard for everything, but we do feel blessed. You know, we sit there and, you know, we say it all the time, you know, we love where we live. We love, you know, our lives are great. You know, we were very happy about everything, but, you know, we do work our tails off. So we're blessed, but we've earned it too. You know, we do kill ourselves, and we work hard to try to make sure everybody's happy. And we're working constantly.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Gary Player had a quote. Gary Player, and I'm going to butcher it, but it was something like, the luckier I get, it correlates to the harder I work. So absolutely, you get lucky, but it's all in relation to how hard you work. What was the final motivating piece? So you're doing now, you're in New Jersey, you're doing this full-time remotely, so 1,000 miles away. So what got you from there to here?
Down to Florida?
Yes.
not as fun of a story, but you know, by that time I had been working from home in New Jersey for about maybe a year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And we'd spoken about going to Florida for a while. We, you know, pipe dream type thing, you know, what would we do? And we're going, it'll be so much nicer. Cause a lot of times, you know, I drop the kids off at daycare in the morning. You know, Shannon was still working, you know, full-time job at the time. It was just me working from home. So, you know, I'd have some downtime. Like, yeah, I'd go to Target in the morning and I'm like, I'd walk in there to like pick up food or something. And there's like two people in the entire store. And I'm like, this is great. But I was like, it's kind of boring though. There's really nothing much else to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'd look around and go, no, it's cold out or there's really not much else. It's nice to work from home, but I wasn't enjoying it as much. And what happened is a little while prior, my father-in-law had passed away. And my mother-in-law lived about an hour from us. And one day she just said to us, listen, I want to move closer to you guys, so I need you to figure out where you want to be. Kind of like, you know, I'm locking in, you know, I'm going to move by you, so figure out where you want to be for the rest of your life almost, you know? Mm-hmm. And we had thought about going back to Long Island because I've got all my family back there. We had thought about moving to a different town in New Jersey as well, or Florida was thrown out there. And, you know, we were checking Realtor.com a bunch. And after a week straight of checking Realtor.com and running different scenarios, we realized all we had really looked at was Florida. Mm. You know, we thought about Long Island and maybe we looked at it for a couple minutes. So we looked at New Jersey. I don't think we even looked at – we thought about moving like a town over in New Jersey to a better school system. But I don't think we really even looked at two houses there. I mean, everything had been focused on Florida. And it wasn't intentional. That's just what we wanted to look at. And we realized, you know what? We clearly want to be in Florida. Yeah. So that was the deciding factor. You know, we said, all right, you know what? It's going to be good. It's not going to hurt us. You know, I work from home and, you know, Shannon was able to talk to her company. And at the time they were going to allow her to work from home in Florida as well. She ended up deciding to leave before that. So she just came on full time for the company when we moved to Florida. But the goal was, okay, we can do this. We can go to Florida because I'm still working from home. And my wife was able to get the okay to do it. And we said, all right, you know what? It's going to help the business. It's not going to hurt us, you know, being right by Disney, you know, being able to advertise more and meet clients and everything. Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, let's do it. And within a couple months, we had sold my mother-in-law's house. My house took a little longer to sell, but we had moved down here. And now she lives about 20 minutes from us in Florida, and we're all happy here. And it's going to be high of 85 today and sunny out. And
nice, nice.
It's November, so it's all good.
So describe to me then, how does living in Florida make your life actually easier right now? So you mentioned you're meeting people potentially, you're mm-hmm. getting videos for YouTube now, yep. which is and by the way too, if you haven't checked out Scott's videos on YouTube, you just posted one for the three bedroom right at Vero Beach,
yep. like the beach cottage at Vero Beach.
Oh yeah, my gosh, that place is fantastic. Cottage.
Yeah, I unfortunately I didn't get to stay there, but I was lucky enough to talk to them at the front desk and have them, you know, give us a little tour of it. But yeah, it's its own. There's six of them on property. It's its own little private beach house right on the Atlantic Ocean at Disney's Vero Beach, and it's pretty awesome.
It's bigger than my house. I mean, literally watching this thing is bigger than my house. So that's fantastic. So check out his stuff on YouTube. What is the name of your YouTube channel, Scott?
It's just DVC Rental without the dash, just to make things confusing.
Yeah.
So it's just youtube.com/DVC Rental.
And you've got videos from everywhere, too. You've got theme park videos. You've got Disney Springs videos. Oh, yeah. You've got resort videos. So check that out on YouTube. But
we're trying to get more active. That was one of the things about moving down here, as we said. And my tech guy was like, we're trying to get the YouTube channel and our Instagram much more active. So we're trying to get out there and shoot more videos, and I really need to do more, but truthfully, I sit inside working so much that I don't get a chance to really shoot too many videos, but I need to push it more.
Yeah. Okay, besides that, what else does living in Florida offer you guys, besides you being a hermit and whatnot, and coming out of the house occasionally? What else does it make your life enable you to do?
Specifically for the business?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of really too much more for the business. I mean, literally, it's being able to shoot videos and go out and meet clients and do events. IAPA is going to be coming up in the next week. And for the first time ever, I'm going to be going and going to the IAPA and hopefully taking some pictures and videos and reporting back on some of the new rides that are coming and all the – I know it's not full Disney stuff. And truthfully, I haven't done it before, so I don't know a ton about it. But I know it's all – theme park stuff, and a lot of it's going to be for Florida. So, I mean, it gets me to do stuff like that. And truthfully, it's getting me out more. This has nothing to do with the business, but I've been trying to be a little healthier, and I've been going out and walking every single morning. And the fact that it's November and it was 72 degrees out when I did my walk early this morning, it makes things a lot easier. It's better for me, which is going to be good for the business eventually as well. It's better for me and keeping healthy, mm-hmm. staying healthy, because most of the time I'm literally just sitting and working for 12 hours straight. So I need to get some exercise and go out there. And Christmas decorations just went up. I can't wait to get out there and start taking some pictures and videos and talk about the Christmas decorations, which I haven't been able to do just yet, but I'm sure sometime this week I'm going to be doing Christmas stuff. So there's a lot of great positives about being down here.
Well, we're going to talk about those 12-hour days very, very shortly, but what do you miss the most about New Jersey?
Besides
family.
Yeah, I mean, my family, while I was in New Jersey, all my family was in Long Island, so they were still about a 2-hour drive from me. And it's things that, it's psychological. You know that you can't just hop in the car and drive to visit them, but you can hop in a flight in 2.5 hours. I can have my family here. And truthfully, I see my family more now that I'm down here than when I did when I was in New Jersey. There's not too much I miss about Jersey, to be honest. The main thing I honestly do miss, though, is I do miss a little bit of fall and the leaves changing. Mm. It's getting a little cooler down here, but I like a nice little fall morning and the leaves changing. And I might not mind seeing snow once, but after that, I don't care about snow anymore.
Yeah, or so shoveling it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That was one of the things I thought about, and I told myself as a thought of moving down to Florida. And it was a cold time of year, and I was like, I don't want to be shoveling snow. And you know what? I've heard that I'm not going to be getting younger, so I'm probably just going to get older, and it's going to get worse for me. So not having to shovel snow and go out in the cold is probably going to be better. So maybe Florida's not a bad choice.
Yeah, scientifically, I think you're accurate in that statement. You're probably not going to get younger. So
probably not. I'm not a scientist, but guesses are I'm probably not going to get much younger.
All right. So you and I are similar in another aspect. So you and I both have jobs that when my wife talks to her friends at school, or perhaps like when you post on Facebook, people perceive our jobs one way, but in many ways it is, but in many ways it's not. So I'm a golf professional. I'm a head golf professional at a course in the suburbs of Chicagoland. And so everyone assumes quickly that my job consists of me playing golf all day long or standing in the driving range giving lessons all day long, when in actuality, it's very different. In many ways, it's like being the manager of a high volume store where I've got 35 employees that I'm managing, including overtime, payroll, discipline. But I've also got 30,000 customers a year that I've got to make sure they're extremely happy and they leave and give us positive reviews on whatnot. So in many ways, I'm an ambassador. I'm a policeman. I'm a businessman. I'm a father, a brother. To a lot of people. In very few of those ways am I actually a golfer. And in your job, when you post things on Facebook, everyone sees you at Epcot, or everyone sees you at Vero Beach. And I personally have seen on your Facebook group people saying, "Oh, can I have your job? I love your job." But I don't really know if that's actually what your job's like. So give us an example. Tell us what a normal day is. And yeah, you do get to go to Epcot, and you do get to go to Vero Beach, and you do get to go to Boardwalk. Mm-hmm. But I know for certain, because I'm your friend and we've had this conversation, I know for certain that reality and what's out there can be a little different. So give me a normal day.
Yeah, I mean, most people, when they see everything, they think that I'm constantly at the parks. And, if people who follow me realize I don't post that much too often, because truthfully, I mean, I probably get to the parks twice a month. But when I post something, people are like, you've got such a great life. I'm barely at the parks. I mean,
I do want to say this, though, Scott. You do have a great life. We want to say, and I have a great life, too. So in no way are we saying this, oh, what was us? We don't. We realize we're blessed. We're fortunate. Yeah. We've worked hard to get here, but we are fortunate and blessed. But I just wanted to make sure people understood that you're not riding Spaceship Earth all day long.
It doesn't sound bad. I would like to, but I mean, and that's the thing. Even when I do get to go to the parks, I'm just constantly checking my emails. I'm constantly checking Facebook because we're always getting questions and stuff. And we pride ourselves on replying quickly. You know, there are other firms that when you send them a question, you know, there's an auto reply that says we'll reply to you in 24 to 48 hours. And if we reply in 24 to 48 minutes, I get a little annoyed because, you know, I want us to have the best customer service because that's what sets us apart. So we're always trying to reply to everything quickly, which is why we're doing it on weekends. And some of them are closed on Sundays. You know, we're working on Sundays because we want you to come to us. You know, we don't want you to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So even when we're at the parks or we're out at dinner, I might take a picture of my meal or something and post it. But, you know, that's also for business. I'm still replying to stuff while I'm trying to eat.
Yeah.
But on a normal day, I wake up at 6:45. We get the kids ready. We walk them to school. My wife and I proceed to walk around our neighborhood, which is one of the benefits of living here. It's beautiful. There's ponds with fountains and palm trees. And we were talking about this morning that we love. We were able to hear the train whistle from Magic Kingdom, you know, from our house or from walk around the neighborhood. And we walk around the neighborhood and we're hearing the train whistle at Magic Kingdom, and it, you know, immediately makes you smile. Mm-hmm. But I digress a little. So again, we walk for about 5 miles every day. Nope, I should say first thing, wake up at 6:45 in the morning. The first thing I do is pick up my phone and I'm checking my Facebook messages.
Looking for fires to put out, probably, correct?
Yeah, just to make sure everything's okay. Or the thing is also, the wonderfulness of Facebook is that if somebody messages the business account, Facebook checks how long it takes you to reply to them. So not my personal page, but the business page. So, you know, the problem is a lot of people message us at 3 o'clock in the morning while we're sleeping. So you wake up and you go, crap, you know, somebody messaged me three and a half hours ago. I got to reply to this because otherwise Facebook's going to keep counting this time against me. Because on our website, on the business page, we want that there's a little green thing that says that we reply quickly. And it tells you how quickly we reply. So we have to keep a certain amount, a percentage of our replies within a few minutes to get that green icon on there to show that, you know, we're actively replying.
Gotcha.
So I wake up first thing in the morning, literally, I roll over next to my nightstand, I pick up my phone, I check my messages, and then we get up and getting the kids ready, getting ourselves ready to just go take a walk. You know, so it's already 6:45 in the morning and I've already been doing work. That, you know, walk the kids to school, walk around the neighborhood for 5 miles, get home, check, doing messages again before I hop in the shower. If there's anything I got to send out on Facebook, like today, I wanted to we pushed out that beach cottage today at Vero Beach. I wanted to get that out before I hopped in the shower. Mm-hmm. So I quickly I did that, got that going, and then went hopped in the shower, came out, and then, you know, it's probably 8:45 in the morning, and now I'm officially at work for the day.
Yeah.
So I'll work for the entire day, probably till about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night is normally how it works, you know, where we're laptop on my lap for the whole time, except for about an hour or so where my wife and I almost go out to lunch pretty much every single day. And we want to have a little time away from the, you know, quote unquote office.
Yeah.
So we go out and we always do our lunch. But I mean, otherwise, I mean, I am on my computer from, you know, forgetting the phone time in the morning from, you know, 8:45 in the morning till 9:10. Last night it was after 10. Sometimes it's 10:30 at night. Just nonstop answering questions, or I'm on Facebook trying to, you know, promote the business and reply to people who have questions. And, you know, I'm in the groups that we sponsor trying to help out. And, you know, my wife's answering a bunch of the emails and I'm helping with the emails. Or we're doing, there's always so much stuff to do. But I mean, it's literally the entire day nonstop. I mean, we barely ever get to go to a park. And at some point this week, as I mentioned, I'm going to make time to go see probably just one of the parks, probably Magic Kingdom, just to see the decorations and, you know, maybe take some pictures, because obviously, you know, when they take pictures of the park, it gets people excited. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a business. We want them to book their travel with us. So I'll take some pictures of Magic Kingdom with all the decorations out and I'll post it. You know, I'll be doing work from the park. And literally when I'm at the park, I'm typically there for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'll go there, take some pictures. I'll ride maybe two or three fast passes if we're able to grab quickly that day. And then we go back home. And I only live 15 minutes away, so we're home pretty quickly. So all in all, I figure within 3.5 hours, I'll have been at the park, done some rides, taken some pictures, I'm back home working again. And I'll post it, and, you know, inevitably somebody will sit there and be like, oh my God, you've got the greatest life in the world. Like, yes.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
You know, I took 3 hours off this week.
Yeah.
And I'm right back to work again. But again, as you know, we've said before and you've said, you know, blessed, love the job, love the business. I love what I do, but you know, people don't understand exactly how much work actually does go into it, because literally it's nonstop. And, you know, weekends, for me at least, weekends as well, every single weekend, you know, maybe not 12 or 13 hour weekends, but on any given weekend, still putting in probably 6-7 hours a day. I mentioned to you previously, you know, I technically haven't had a day off from work in almost 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a ride.
That's what I think the misconception, and it's like, I'm not trying to sell Scott Ferriola to people, but I understand it because in Minneapolis, well,
help me, man, help me.
I'm trying. 5 mile a day Ferriola is what I'm going to start calling you. So
it's a walk. It's not a run. It's a walk 5 miles.
So yeah, it's the fact that like it'll never stop. So you're a victim of your own success. You're good at what you do because you are responsive, but like, because you're so responsive, the business keeps growing, and you're not the only one. I know you've got several employees. You got your wife works for you. You got B working for you. You've got 4 or 5 other people working for you as well. But you know what? The business is growing. So, like, awesome job. Congratulations. But you've got to work this hard to get that, you know? And yeah. I think that's just what gets lost. So when we put like a fun comment on the Disney Vacation Club, you know, resales group that you have, you know, you give an answer back and everyone's like, oh, that's really cool. You get to talk about DVC. Yes, I do. But it doesn't stop. It's 12 hours, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand that. That's actually, Scott, I don't know whether you know this or not. That's actually how you and I, you know, started communication, was when we were doing our show. We were not necessarily at the beginning of doing our podcast, but we wanted to talk about DVC, but we wanted to do something a little different. We didn't want to just have a group of people talk. We wanted people that like did it, like lived it. So I sent you a message just randomly. Hey, my name's Chris. I have this show. Are you interested in coming out and talking about DVC? You didn't know who I was, and our show probably wasn't as well known then as it is now. You got back to me within like 4 minutes, and I was like, whoa, what is this wacko? Either this guy's really desperate to talk about DVC, or maybe my show is more popular. And then I learned about it. She was like, no, that's like how you handle like everyone's communication, is like you get back to them within like minutes. So from that point forward, I was, you know, I'm big with communication. I've got to be in my job. And I was like, if this guy's this strong with communication, it's like, okay, I can see this is someone I want to talk to because I know I'll get an answer. And, you know, Facebook's, you know, I think of if you met 100 people on Facebook, like 70 are going to be really good people, 20 are going to be kind of bizarre, and 10 are going to be like just off the charts, like, okay, block, delete, you know, as soon as possible. So, you know, once I knew I had a person that was like stand up, good business acumen, or a good human being, I was like, this is a guy that I want to, you know, engage in a podcast and talk about DVC. So really cool. So tell me now, at this point, you, and I'm going to measure you with the word success. So your business is successful, but you've worked at it and you've grown it and you've cultivated it. So this is a lot of congratulations on you and Shannon and B and everyone involved. What would you do differently now? If you could come back and you could start off from New Jersey and come to Florida, what would be the step to do differently?
There's only one thing I've ever thought that – I don't want to say I've done wrong, but there's only one thing I ever thought that I would change. And I've over the last couple of years, I've – I don't want to say kicked myself over it, but the main thing is I wish I had started sooner. I thought about doing this business years prior, and I never did it. And I was going, oh, if I had gotten the extra, you know, 2+ years in there, you know, I could have built up bigger. You know, I think of where I could be now. I could be 2 more years down the line. I'd have more clients. You know, that's really the main thing, is just wishing I maybe started earlier. But it's kind of like buying into DVC. The main thing that people have that they're mad about is that they wish they had bought sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sit there and they go, you know what? I'd spent all this money taking vacations. I had bought sooner. And I thought about that as well, going, I've spent a lot of money on vacations before I bought DVC. I wish I had bought in. But the truth with buying DVC and starting my business is that I bought into DVC when it was right for me, when it was feasible,
mm-hmm.
when we had enough money, so I wasn't, you know, putting on a credit card. I wasn't taking out a loan on it. I waited till we were able to pay cash for it, because, you know, we had to wait till it was right for us. And that's how I plan. I think that the DVC company started is – yeah, maybe I could have started 2 years earlier, but you know what? Maybe it wasn't right for me then. You know, when
point.
I started, that's when it was right. That's when I was going to have the time. That's when I was starting to say, you know what? I need a change, and that my child is being born, and I was going to have paternity leave. So the timing was right. You know, yeah, it would have been great to be 2 more years into it, and, you know, have more, you know, have built up the more clients and have extra money. And, you know, there's a lot of great things, but again, maybe it just wasn't right. You know, you can't go back and sit there and say, you know, yeah, I did it wrong. You know, it's just, yeah, you know what? Maybe it would have worked out a little better, but you know what? We did it when it was right, and I'm very happy about where we are now.
Yeah. And besides, you're only 32 or 40, depending on the time change or year.
The calculations, they were really
calculations off. Or something. So you got your whole life in front of you. So, all right. So before we stop here, I got some Disney questions, because I know you're a Disney fan, and I know really, I know, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Shannon is a big Disney person, and she helped get you into the Disney spirit. Is that correct?
I'm probably bigger into Disney now than she is a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, but she's the one who got me into it. I wasn't raised with Disney. I went to Disney once when I was 10, and, you know, we stayed off site and we went for 2 days, and all we did was Magic Kingdom. So I wasn't raised Disney. I wasn't watching Disney shows or movies. It just, that's not how I was raised. My family didn't, you know, we didn't watch a lot of Disney stuff. I wasn't pushed towards Disney. But yeah, when I met my wife, we were dating for a few months, and she happened to have, her and her sister were supposed to have gone to Disney, and I guess something happened, and they still had airline tickets that were expiring. So, you know, we started dating in March, and I think the airline tickets were expiring sometime in May. And she was like, I got these tickets expiring. You know, it's down to Orlando. You will go to Disney. And I was like, all right, you know, we'll go. I haven't been to Disney in, you know, 11 years. I really don't know much about Disney. You know, we'll go. And we went, you know, we stayed off site for the first 10, 15 times I went. I stayed off site at the same place always, every time off site, because it was cheap. And I didn't have money back then. I was only 21. And, you know, and I just got into it more. I mean, after the first trip, I wasn't, you know, super hooked. I had a great time. And then, you know, the next trip, we wanted to do something. We went to, I think the next one was like Bahamas. And then, you know, 6 months later, we were going to do another vacation. I said, you know what? You know, we spent a lot of money on Bahamas. Disney was less expensive. I had a better time at Disney. So let's try Disney again. And then we did Disney again. And then every year we were doing one trip to Disney and one trip somewhere else. And it just kept going like that. And then towards the end, when I started the company and everything, we were down to just 3 trips to Disney every year and pretty much not going anywhere else with the kids. It was just 3 trips to Disney.
Yeah. All right. So
she got me into it. I wasn't huge into it. And she took me the one time. And then I said, oh, that was fun. And then as I went back and thought about it, I said, you know what? That was better than these other trips. And it just kept going and going. And then you start, as you know, you start reading blogs and Facebook, and you start reading, you're in these groups, and you start learning all this stuff, and you just get into it. You get sucked
into Disney. They pulled you in, right?
Oh, they pulled me in.
Right? You
know, all of a sudden, you're like, I know everything about Disney. Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, did you know? What?
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what? You mentioned something. Before I give you my rapid-fire questions here, it's just better than another vacation. And I've told people this, and in fact, we are the, you know, well, obviously you are because it's your business, but, like, everyone who listens, you are by default, like, the Disney person at your office or place. Why is, like, a vacation to Walt Disney World, why is that, like, your preferred vacation? What does it do that something else can't do for you? And I've gone to the Bahamas before. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference? Like, what can it deliver that, like, something else can't? Like, that's really a pro Disney statement. But yeah, there's a reality here. There's a reality here, yeah, like, of going to the Bahamas and going to Disney. It's two different vacations. But even, yeah, like, a Vero Beach vacation, mm-hmm, and a Bahamas vacation, what is like the thing that, like, you gravitate towards?
Yeah. I mean, you know, clearly everybody's different, but I mean, I used to go to the islands a lot, you know, and, you know, I've been to St. Martin a couple times and Aruba and Bahamas and just a lot of different islands and cruises, and they're all great, but after a couple days, I'm bored. I sit there, there's people who are different, you know, who just probably could just lay out on a beach every day and be thrilled. You know, we went on a trip to the Bahamas, and my wife read, I think, 8 books while we were there. I mean, we're just laying on the beach, and she read 8 books, and I'm like, okay. And she had a great time, and it was peaceful, but there's not as much to do. I mean, mm-hmm, I'm sure there's people yelling at their screens right now going, go on, there's jet skiing and there's this, and you're not doing it right. And there's lots of stuff to do. But I mean, when you go to Disney, you know, there's a couple things. You're going to have fun. There's stuff to do every single day. There's a zillion food choices. You know that you're relatively safe.
Safe.
And a lot of this is with kids. Mm-hmm. You know that you're relatively safe. You know, anything can happen. Obviously, you know, you're not blind while you're there. You know, be smart, but you know you're pretty safe, you know, while you're on Disney property, while you're in the parks. You know, stuff can happen, but not as much. But you feel safe there. You know you're going to have fun. You know there's stuff to do. And this is going to sound so silly, but I've made this comment before. When you've got little boys, urinals. They've got little urinals in the bathroom that places don't have that. And when your little 2-year-old or 3-year-old's got to pee, they've got little smaller urinals, and it makes it easier for them. Where there's no other place, you know, you go to any restaurant or other places, no, you know, it's very rare to find that. But everywhere on Disney, they make it easy for you, and you know it's going to be clean. You know your kids, you know, when you go to the bathroom, it's not going to be disgusting. It's going to be relatively clean. They're going to have little urinals for the kids. They have little sinks for them to wash their hands. I mean, there's lots of things that Disney does that are just little silly things that, you know, it's not a roller coaster. It's not some wonderful virtual thing. It's a bathroom, but it makes it easier, and it just makes it a lot more accessible and just a little bit better. I mean,
yeah,
and that's something so silly. I'm sure when you planned this out, having this conversation, urinals was not a word that was going to be thrown out.
It's a difference.
Talking to me,
it is a difference.
But it's silly, but it's a difference. It's a little thing. It's little stuff like that. When you walk around the parks, you know, there's a garbage can every 15 feet. You know. There's not garbage on the ground, you know. Everything is clean, you know. There's people, if somebody spits out gum, there's somebody there cleaning it up right away. I mean, you know, Disney does customer service better than anyone. And that's the main thing is, you know, there's lots of other places that are great to visit. But Disney's customer service is just so above everybody else that no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, just, yeah, cleanliness or food or just, you know, asking for directions or just anything, you know, Disney just goes above and beyond, and you know you're going to have a good trip. It's going to be a solid trip every time. Whereas, you know, you go somewhere else, you know, it can fluctuate. You can have a great trip or you can go back and it stinks. You know, most people don't come back from Disney and go, man, that stunk.
That stunk.
Because the rides are the same, or they're putting out new stuff that's always solid, and they've got great people working there. The cast members are wonderful at Disney. That every time you go, you just know it's going to be a great stay.
Well, so I don't want to put words into your mouth, but the word that I'm thinking that you describe is the word accountable. So I've taken 2 Carnival cruises. Before we got on the boats, we hoped they would be good cruises, and they were. Yep. We hoped they would be good cruises. We're taking a Royal Caribbean. We hope it's going to be a good cruise.
Yeah.
But we don't really know, and I don't know the process if it's not. But like at Disney, I know that if something goes wrong, I'm going to go down to the front desk. I'm going to talk to the front desk agent. I'm a very rational person. I'm intelligent, and I'm not a screamer. I'm not a yeller. I can pose a argument, but also be open-minded about the give and take in a conversation. And I know that if my argument is truthful and I feel like something's not gone awry, Disney is going to do something about it to make it better. If the rides are good and if the park is good and clean, they're accountable for that too as well, because they provide that. If it's not, they're going to do something to make it worth your time. And I think that's like the reassurance. If I'm going to drop $7,000 on a vacation, I want to make absolutely certain that vacation is worth $7,000. So the accountability, that's like everything to me on vacation, because like you, I don't get a whole lot of time for vacation. Actually, this show is part of my vacation because I get to live through Disney. So when I'm on vacation, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. And if I don't have that accountability, I'm like, yeah, I really want to go to Cedar Point. But, you know, I don't know. Is that park going to be super crowded? Are they going to have half the rides down? And Cedar Point's a bad example because I know they're very good at what they do too as well. But kind of along those lines, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's the thing with Disney also. You know that whether you're at the hotel or you're at any park, if something goes wrong, you know where guest services is, or you know cast members will help you out and they'll send you wherever. I mean, you know, anything happens, they're on it. Whereas, you know, say you're in Aruba, you know, there's an issue. Who do you contact?
Yeah, good luck.
You know?
Good luck.
Yeah, Disney's there. You know, they've got your back the whole time. And, you know, you twist your ankle on Main Street, you know, there's going to be somebody coming over to help you within, you know, 40 seconds. You know, there's gonna be a cast member and security probably over there to help you. You know, where you go anywhere else, you're on your. We went to Aruba, And sorry, quick aside. We went to Aruba and we rented a Jeep driving through to go, like, they had like underground caves. And we went to this underground cave, you know, we gave them the money. They literally handed each of us a flashlight and said, have fun. And then we had to like spelunk down into the cave.
Nice.
And when we, like, walk around, and when we walked out, we're wearing flip flops. And we're down here and we're walking out. There's, well, you're in the cave, there's literally just like spray painted like arrows, kind of like if you get lost, which way to go. And then there's like a rope you've got to pull yourself up to get out of the cave.
This seems safe.
Yeah. I'm going, this wouldn't fly in the U.S. You know, I mean, you picture Disney and then you picture that. You're like, essentially in Aruba, they gave us the flashlights. They're like, yep, you're on your own. Have fun. And it's anything happens, you're in trouble. Yeah, you know, nobody's helping you.
The cave's over there. Go ahead, you know.
Exactly. Literally the flashlight. They're like, all right, have fun. You know, if we'll check at the end of the day if there's anybody lying down there, and hopefully you'll be out by then.
Yeah. Wow. All right. You ready to answer some rapid-fire questions? And then I'll let you get back to work, because I'm sure you're ignoring work right now just to talk to me. So
I'm not going to lie. In the background, I've got the email screen up, and I'm watching emails just coming in. I'm going, shit, I'm hoping somebody answers them a little faster. And there's also Facebook. I have Facebook closed, but there's still messages popping up.
Chris is taking up part of your work day. Now you're going to have to stay until 11 o'clock tonight.
I saw one of the Facebook members just booked the room, and they gave us the confirmation. They're like, all right, what do we do next? I'm like, I can't reply to you.
Give me 1 second. Hang on. Give me 1 second.
I'm recording. I can't do anything.
All right. Here we go. We'll make it quick then. You ready?
Oh, sure.
Epcot or Magic Kingdom?
Epcot.
Interesting.
I love Epcot at night. It's my absolute favorite thing to do. So while the rides are definitely better at Magic Kingdom, there's a lot more to do. Epcot still holds a special place in my heart, walking around World Showcase at night. So I love Epcot.
Okay. Animal Kingdom or Studios?
I guess Animal Kingdom.
Tower of Terror or Haunted Mansion?
Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion is probably my overall favorite ride.
Of all time?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you know, it's just, I love the ride. You sit there, there are rides that are definitely better. You know, like Soarin' is better, and Flight of Passage, you know, just, you know, technology-wise are just far superior rides. But, you know, it's just, it's been around forever, and it's just, it holds a special place in my heart. And I love Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Spinning rides, yes or no?
No.
No, you're not a spinner, huh?
Nope.
Okay.
When I was younger, sure. Nowadays, okay. Not so much.
once you pass 30, right, Scott?
Yeah. Have I hit 30 yet? I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
All right. Best coaster on property. Think hard. Best coaster on property. Let's review them here. We got Everest, right? We got Space. We got Big Thunder, right? You've got Slinky Dog. Who are we missing? We missed got the Mine Train.
Thunder's great. I might go with Seven Dwarfs. It's not the biggest coaster. I like it. It's nice and smooth. It's got, you know, it slows down. It's got like the dark ride feel to it as well. So mm-hmm. I like that it's kind of like a hybrid coaster.
All right. So tell me, your personality, who is it most like? Is it Mickey, who's like eternally positive and pleasant? Is it like Donald, easily upsettable, frustration? Or is it like Goofy? In the sense that, well, frankly, you're just Goofy. You got to pick one. You can't pick all three. You got to pick one.
If I had to go with picking one of those three, I'd probably have to go with Donald. I try to be positive, and I try to be like Mickey, and I try to reply to stuff, but there's definitely some Donald in me.
Okay, which one would you say is me, as my friend?
You're Mickey.
Would you say I'm Mickey?
You're always positive.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
I know of. You know, I'm not seeing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but you, whenever I've met you, you've been super solid, nice guy, just like says the right things always. You are Mickey.
I got a lot of Goofy in me, too, just so you know. Your favorite Disney movie? Okay, I could answer this one for you. I can answer this one.
That's helpful,
for you.
Thanks.
Well, you say yours, and I'm going to say it, and you're going to say, you're right. Go ahead.
This is where it's tricky. There's always a blur now. You go, do you count Marvel stuff? Do you count Star Wars?
Anything you want. Go ahead. Favorite Disney movie.
After I say this, I'm gonna go back and want to change it later on. I'll go with Avengers for now.
Okay. I know you better.
I know you do.
Aliens.
Well, That's 20th Century Fox.
I know, but it got included in the Disney canon over at the Great Movie Ride, so technically I'm going to include... Would you agree with me? Is it Avengers or is it Aliens?
Oh, I definitely like Aliens.
I know you do.
As you know, Aliens is one of my favorite of all time. I love the Alien franchise.
How about non-Disney movie? What's your favorite non-Disney movie?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just an Aliens.
Besides that, we just mentioned that one. Something else besides that.
I just answered this, man.
Give me something else. Think long, think hard. Is it action? Is it comedy?
It's always action.
Okay.
It's always action. I said that. I'm trying to think, like, I've seen the Star Wars, the original Star Wars movies, probably 50 times each. I've seen Jurassic Park, the original one, you know, 30 times. Terminator 2 is an awesome movie. It's always action. Action's my thing.
So you're saying it's Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights. That's what you're saying, right?
That's a fun movie. I love Shake and Bake, baby.
Shake and Bake. Come on. Give me one. Give me your favorite non-Disney movie. You got to name one. If you're going home tonight and there's a movie on TV that's not Disney and you're like, okay, I've seen it 100 times, but I love it. What are you going to put on?
And besides Aliens, I'll go with Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, Disney, but okay. At the time, we'll say... We'll go on, and then you think about that answer, okay?
I'll go Jurassic Park, then.
Very good. That is a good one. That's a solid movie, right? Yeah. Life will find a way. Character breakfast or quick service? And that's not only for you. It's for the whole Ferioli family.
Quick service. Character breakfasts are nice. Actually, I don't know if my kids have ever even done one. They've done one, to be honest. We don't. You know, when we were coming down here, we'd go to three times a year. So we try to be, you know, we try not to spend a ton of money. So we're not doing the dining plans normally, and you know, we're not spending. You know, it kills me to sit there and spend $170 on breakfast for my family to watch my kids eat. You know, a dollar worth of eggs. You know, they're not going to eat much, and I go, oh my god, I'm too rash. I'm an economics major, so yeah. I'm always thinking about business and money, and I'm going, this does not make sense. Like, I can't do it. There's no return on investment from this breakfast. But yeah, we spend a lot of time at quick service, to be honest with you.
Okay, last question, and this is going to be the most that's it, last question, then you can get back to work, I promise.
I can stop sweating.
All right, this is a two-parter though, so I kind of cheated. So your favorite Disney resort, and then your favorite DVC resort. They got to be separate. Mm-hmm. You can't say Boardwalk for both. You got to give me the one. I guess I should say the favorite non-Disney resort, and then the favorite non-DVC resort, and the favorite DVC resort.
Let's see. I've stayed at every single DVC resort. My favorite is still Boardwalk. As you mentioned, you know, I'm going to say Boardwalk. Love the location. Love Boardwalk. It's got personal space in my heart. It doesn't have the best rooms. You know, there's a lot of ones that are better, but just the location is fantastic. There's lots of stuff to do, and I just love Boardwalk.
Okay.
Non-DVC resort. To be honest, before I bought into DVC, I mentioned I'd stayed offsite like 15 times, and then eventually when we started doing better in your careers when you're not as young, we started staying at the Values. And then I bought into DVC. So to be honest with you, I've never even stayed at a moderate resort. So the best non-DVC resort that I've stayed at is Pop Century.
Okay. Well, that's
Disney-wise.
Yeah, there's a reasonable story to that. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I know Pop's not the best, but for Disney, that's the best I've stayed at. You know, like, I'm sure Port Orleans is much nicer. I've seen rooms at Port Orleans. It's a beautiful resort. Mm-hmm. I personally stayed there, though.
Okay. So, you know, I want to give you a chance to go and mention your stuff, your Facebook group and your websites and whatnot. But my last statement is, when you're planning a trip, when you buy in with a company, or when you're going to buy headbands and ears with Tamara, you know, you're buying the product, but you're also buying the guy. So I can't say enough about you as a guy and as a businessman and as a dad. So just remember, when you're listening, if you're thinking of renting, if you're thinking of buying or selling, you're buying through the brands, through DVC-Rental, but you're also buying through Scott. So from what I know of you, you know, I can't speak highly enough of you. So support small business, support my buddy Scott, go through B in terms of the, you know, the buy and the sell, go through Scott in terms of the rental.
I was going to say, it's not. Remember, it's not just us. You know, we have families working for us.
You have families. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's all of the families that work with us, and you know, it helps all of them. You know, it's not. I know that that's the whole cliche. You know, you don't go through the big person, because when you buy through us, you know, it's helping somebody get braces. You know, or helping somebody who's had a nail in their tire. You know, it's helping families, and it really is. I mean, we have it's all small families that work with us, and you know, one of them, you know, the it's me and my wife working with us. It's another family it's a husband and wife working with us. You know, it's and other women as well. It's families that you're helping out.
Mm-hmm. And when I mentioned accountability, this is like an example of accountability right here with Scott. So, and if he doesn't get back to you, just send me a message and then I'll bird dog Scott until he does. So not a problem. Send us home, Scott. So where can people find you and whatnot?
You can always email me at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at, and then the website name, DVC-, don't forget that dash in there, -rental.com. So Scott at DVC-rental.com. You can reach out to the rental company. We're DVC-rental.com. Our resale company, where you can purchase Disney Vacation Club contracts, is buy and sell, like B-U-Y, buy and sell DVC.com. B. Thaxton is our licensed real estate broker. We also run the longest running and the largest. It was the only one, but now somebody else has created a company, a Facebook page. But we own it's Disney Vacation Club Resales, DVC. We've got a lot of people in there. It's by far the largest of any of the resales groups. So if you're thinking of buying into Disney Vacation Club, definitely join that group. There's a lot of great people in there with no drama. And, you know, we monitor it. I'm on Facebook constantly monitoring everything, so that there's no fighting, and it's a very informative group, and we actually encourage questions. You know, there are some groups you ask a question, people will tell you, you know, let me Google that for you, or check the files tab. You know, we want you to ask those questions, because honestly, it's like going back to, you know, third grade. Honestly, if you've got a question, somebody else has that question too. Mm-hmm. So, yep. You know, we really want you to ask those questions, because there are people who aren't as brave as you, who are more quiet, who have that same question, who just literally are too nervous to ask it.
Yeah.
So please ask questions.
And, you know, Scott's Ferioli's account on Facebook is honestly just his name. But if you go to the show's private page, which we have a group of listeners, it's a community. It's called Edcot. Scott's actually as my friend and as Stacy's friend and Pete's friend. Scott's joined. B's joined. And this is honestly the chance for you to kind of talk with Scott and B, not necessarily DVC, and see how goofy and wacky they are. So last question, the candy you were giving away at Halloween, this tells me more about you than any of the show that we've done so far. What were you giving away at Halloween? I got to know.
Well, do you remember the Indiana meet? Remember how we had that pick a, you know, try your luck.
Oh, my gosh. You were giving away Disney goods to everybody, weren't you?
We brought like 20 pounds of candy with us to that meet.
Okay.
And we gave it away for Halloween, and I probably still have like 8 pounds of candy or something like that.
Gotcha. All right.
It was lots of dum-dums. A lot of it was non-chocolate stuff, and I try not to do too much of the chocolate because, you know, allergies, and I figured all the other stuff is more friendly for allergies. So it's all dum-dums and all sorts of, I forget, Skittles and all sorts of little candies that are pretty much not chocolate.
And you're doing well. Let's get to the real answer. It's because if it's in the house, you're going to eat it, just like me. So
that's part of it too, because right? I don't want it.
Yeah. No temptation.
my kids went trick-or-treating, and now they've got bags of stuff. My youngest one yesterday was like, hey, you like Butterfingers, right? I'm like, yeah, I like Butterfingers. So he went through his bag and picked out every single Butterfinger for me. And put them down, you know, like pretty much on my lap. So I'm sitting, there's like 10 little Butterfingers sitting there. I'm like,
dang you.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you for sacrificing your candy. But come on, man. Yeah. I'm trying to be good.
Come on, bro. It's right. All right. So I want to get you back to work. So for my buddy Scott and for myself, I'd like to thank you for listening. And we want to wish you a great day.
Thank you so much, everyone.